This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, Watch & Wager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA.
You heard the Lexus Legends of the Turf earlier, and I always tell you about the godfather at the Lexus store of Lexington. Well, now we turn our attention to the godfather of Gulfstream Park. With all due respect to the Lexus store of Lexington, and my man in Lexington, Ronnie Nicoletti. Ronnie, welcome to the program.
I'm getting to feel like the grandfather instead of just the father, the godfather here. Been here a long time. Good morning, I should say. And it just looks like it's going to be a fantastic day. Got a chance to go on the roof yesterday. You know, it's opening day. We were across town for a good 2 months. I looked at the turf course. It looks like a carpet today. So, you know, I think the turf course is going to play fair. The main track, of course, is going to be fast. So it's going to be a great day for racing.
Well, it should be, and a great card. Jute and I talked about this a couple of times already, but you look at these eight claiming crown races, and you look at the 110 entries that were taken in those eight races. Trying to come up with a winner in some of these races was so difficult. Most of the races, very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of get an idea, and you go with a couple of logicals and spots, but you wouldn't be surprised if one of the horses that goes over 20-1 wins, and you look back and you say, as we were saying before we went on the air, I had a check next to that horse or something like that, because he actually figures, you know, you can only bet so much, and, you know, the name horses, like, you know, Rebo Bobo, who everyone knows won last year, very popular horse here in South Florida, is going to go off odds on. I picked him, but I'm not quite sure he's the same Rebo Bobo when he's going to win today. So there's a place, especially if you're betting the exotic wagers, where you might be able to take a stand and make some money.
Yeah, that's the whole key, I think, is keeping an eye on the tote board and finding that horse that's being overlooked in the betting. And it's very tough today because there's horses coming from all over the country, so you don't know how, like, Parks Form would transfer here to Gulfstream Park. Or
yeah, that's a good point. How do you approach that as a handicapper, well, Ronnie, when you have them coming from everywhere?
Yeah, no, that's the hardest thing. Gulfstream, the first 15 or 20 days, is the hardest racetrack in the country to handicap. And as you know, over the years, you guys, I mean, just courses coming in, you have to figure what that form translates to. A lot of times, you know, it happens, but not as much as a place like Saratoga, you know, see a horse ship in from Penn National or something like that. But usually if they're shipping into Saratoga, you know, they might have a shot. The guy thinks they have a shot, so you're thinking like that. Here, they just come all down for the winter, and it's really impossible until you see them run over the track, make some notes, and come back and run again.
And yeah, management's
no idea how the track's playing, right?
No.
Yeah. Speed, inside, outside. You have no idea at this point because it's opening day.
And I will say there's still some water in it this morning. I was watching horses gallop before we went on the air, and I was standing there with Mark Hennig, and we were talking about it, and he agreed with me that there was some moisture in the track. And, you know, it's a beautiful, sunshiny day, so it will. The track will be fast this afternoon, but, you know, it could have some kind of effect on the races today.
Yeah, you know, we have a couple of races before the Claiming Crown starts, one on the turf, one on the main track, and you could sort of, you know, you can't come up with, it's a speed favorite track there. We just sort of get an idea of how the track might be playing in those first couple of races. And, you know, when you get later on in the card, if you're going to play the Rainbow Six, we've already watched four races on different surfaces. You sort of get an idea, you know, if horses just go to the lead and you watch the fractional times and they're really fast, then maybe it's going to play speed. I'm not a big proponent of biases until you see something that's just totally ridiculous, you know, like a paved highway on the inside. You don't really see that too much with this track at Gulfstream Park. You know, it favors speed, but it's been a pretty fair track.
Ron Nicoletti with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ronnie, let's go ahead and touch on all eight Claiming Crown races, and we'll start with the first of those eight. That's race number three, the Claiming Crown Iron Horse Stakes, purse of $110,000. They'll go a mile and a 1/16 on this fast main track. 1:33 Eastern is the post time for that first Claiming Crown race.
Yeah, you know, I went with the number six, JB's Unc. Really hard not to have this one on top of the ticket, stretching out slightly. Returned from that 10-week freshening to get beat a nose, going a mile 70 yards across town at Gulfstream Park West. you know, the exploits of trainer George Navarro. He's 32% with second off the bench, this type of layoff. Paco Lopez, and was walking around the backside the other day, and he absolutely loves this horse. So I don't know if that means put him on top or throw him out, because trainers don't never use the road. So I went with JB's Unc, Feisty Alba, the logical choice, and Francois on the ticket.
You know, you brought up the point earlier, Jude, about horses coming from all over. And when you have a horse like JB's Unc that has had success, 2-for-4 here at Gulfstream, does that has to play into your handicap?
Very important. That's the first thing I look at. Horses that have run well here in the past, especially at certain distances. You know, people have realized they've been betting Gulfstream Park West, for the last couple of months. A 1 mile race across town is two turns. Here it's a one turn mile, so it's an elongated sprint. So you have to sort of, change your handicapping thoughts, and look for horses that tend to have more speed. It's a whole different ballgame when you're going, going two turns in a mile. With that said, you're absolutely right. I love horses that have run here or been in town working in these kind of conditions that we have here, with the heat and humidity.
Well, speaking of sprints, the fourth race on the program, the Claiming Crown Express, will be contested at 3/4 of a mile. That's 6 furlongs, $110,000 purse. The post time 2:02 Eastern, and Ronnie, this is a race that features the aforementioned Rebo Bobo, the defending champion here. Maybe not the same Rebo Bobo we saw coming into this race a year ago. Is he beatable in here?
He is beatable today, but if you look at his record here, he's had 18 races here with 7 victories. His last race, he touches with Private Zone, who comes back and wins the Cigar Mile. So you're going to put a line through there. I mean, this is the Claiming Crown. He's on a grade one in the Vosburgh. So I just think this horse can, run well today, Rebo Bobo. But it was last year. He's your single, he's your 1-9, but, he's not been that same horse a couple of times. But I think you got to have him somewhere in your ticket. And I also used the 4, Frontier Warrior, moving to the Peter Waldobon, goes there via the claim after notching his 5th sprint victory in a row at Laurel. And, Walder, he's really good first off the claim. He comes to his barn, he's got Irod Ortiz. Boy, if anybody's going to beat Rebo Bobo, it might be Frontier Warrior. And Peter Walder, if you've been watching Gulfstream Park Racing over the years, knows he has a fantastic job here and very strong first off the claim. So I used him, and I ended it up with the 8 Lover Bill for my trifecta ticket.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on Frontier Warrior. I mean, he looks fantastic. Looks like they claimed him just for this race. They knew they could run him in here and make some good money. And he looks very, very tough today.
Yeah, and I would not be surprised if someone like that, beat Rebo Bobo. So, the fourth race here, it's part of the early pick forward sequence. Do you single him? Do you not? I wouldn't today. I would go a little deeper with the Frontier Warrior in that race.
The first Claiming Crown turf race comes up in the next race. That's race 5. It is the Mile and a 16th Tierra Stakes, purse of $125,000. Fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. And, Ronnie, I thought this one was pretty tough.
Yeah, it's got a lot of speed in it. So I looked for a horse that would close in here, and I went with the 7, Don Juan. This is a late striding daughter of Dunkirk. Gets some class relief today, and I think the perfect pace scenario. She exits that $105,000 race to Sellers Shiraz across town, where she finished 3rd behind Darren Cathy. Dad came back and won the Grade 3. My Charmer, trainer Manny Weyar, Luis Saez atop this horse. And I just kept looking and seeing speed, 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 speed. So I went with the horse that I know from around here. Don Juan has been knocking head with the best horses we have down here, put her on top of my ticket, and I went with the 6 Wild Suava and Flamingo Lane, who is a great story from Abigail Anzit coming down. Since she put this horse on the turf, 9 starts, 5 wins, 3 seconds, and 3 seconds and 1/3. So, and 9 for 9 in the money since going to her bunch. So Flamingo Lane, you got to have him on the ticket.
You mentioned the main track playing the speed and being relatively fair, but more speed favoring more times than not. How about the turf course here? Can you close on this turf course?
You can. Yeah. Last year was so evenly matched, but as the meet progresses and as the days get hotter, it seems to favor speed because, like anywhere else, the turf course, being run on it over and over, it starts to get harder. And you can actually see the difference from, stone closers early on in the meet, or stone from out in the clouds, but closers or stalkers, and all of a sudden you get that week or two where it's speed. You got to be sharp. You got to get it because there's certain guys that have horses and jockeys that are perfectly situated for that situation and just, you know, go. And you just have to watch the biases as they change, as the meet gets longer and longer in the sun, you know, as we get into April and May. This is Florida. It gets hot, even though it's April.
Our coverage presented by Kitten's Joy Standing at Ramsey Farm begins 3 o'clock Eastern time. And the first race you'll hear live on the network this afternoon is race number 6, the $110,000 glass slipper stakes. This is an elongated sprint, 1 mile, one turn mile on the main track. And, Ronnie, I had 6 numbers up the top of my program after I looked at this one.
Well, this has a lot to do with the post positions in here. You know, if Courtney Ryan wasn't the 13 to be on top of my ticket, because she's a 9-time local winner, a 10-time winner at the distance, and, you know, just don't trust that outside post going a one turn mile here. So I went with the number 3, Best Behavior. 6 for 7 in the money on the Gulfstream main track. Beat none of those going a mile, but here's the thing. This horse claimed 2 starts back by Marty Wolfson for $62,500. And as Jude mentioned, there's a horse that was claimed just for this spot. I believe that, because Marty Wolfson is not known to go in, or his connections, going for a $62,500 claim. And, you know, Marty Wolfson, very good with horses stretching out in distance. He's over 25%. He's about 27%. I like Best Behavior today. It's a little bit of a sneaky play. I just think that they put this horse in this race for this reason.
Do we get a good price?
I don't know if, you know, because it's Marty Wolfson. I don't think he'll be the favorite. I think they still might go with Courtney Ryan, but I think that Best Behavior will not be the odds-on choice.
Yeah, well, she's stretching out to a mile, but Marty Wolfson, one of the sharpest guys in racing, and he's a perennial leader down here in Florida.
Yeah, so I mean, that was my cutie so far, and it's not going to be no 50-1 odds, but it's sort of a little bit of a cutie.
We like those kind of plays, though. We'll take that. That's okay. The next race for me was a real head-scratcher. It's the inaugural running of the Canterbury Stakes on the Claiming Crown program. Now, this is a race that's brand new, 5 furlongs on the turf, full field of turf sprinters, and just I threw my hands up in the air.
Well, you know, we're here and we give horses that we like on top, but here's you got, if you're betting the Rainbow Six, you got to go deep here.
Yep.
Because these 5 furlong turf sprints are impossible. With that said, I went with the 3 Mr. Online, who's a multi-graded stakes place performer on this turf course. Previous winner at the distance. Not a lot of races at this distance, but a winner. First start since facing a grade 2 competition, was up at Woodbine. Hard to gauge that. Mike Pino, 21% with the 61 to 180-day layoff. Gelding is training nicely, you know, so all over the track since October. So this horse has been, as we said, acclimated to the local conditions down here, been training. You know, it's got 5 or 6 works, and the Mr. Online certainly has the class. But I would not be shocked if a horse like Determinado breaks from the rail again. He finished 6th. He was beaten only 1.5 lengths in the Gin Rummy Chant, but he had trouble in that race, you know, and Orbi Mirage, you know, is the trainer's thing, and Jose Lascano in the saddle, and Jose Lascano, my absolute favorite turf rider here at Gulfstream Park. So I threw the 1 on there, Determinado.
All right, that's the Canterbury Stakes again, race number 7, brand new race here on this Claiming Crown program. Race number 8 is the Rapid Transit, 7 furlongs on the main track, purse of 110 grand, and another one where I had 5 numbers up the top of my program.
You're going to have to go deep for your Rainbow Six today.
Yeah, it's going to cost me a little bit of money.
I went with the 4, Good Time Had By All, who returned from a similar layoff last year to win the Rapid Transit. Makes his first start. He counted early trouble. He was stumbled at the start in his last race. He finished 6th. That was against $62,500 optional claimers at Belmont up on September 18th. Trainer George Navarro, Paco Lopez guiding the defending champion here. So, you know, maybe trying to catch lightning in a bottle again. Paco Lopez, I don't have to tell you how good he's been riding all year. So he's on the horse. And, you know, 7 stalwarting due to 5-time winner this year. Includes he's got that triple-digit buyer score in the slop last time out. He stretches out today. Proven commodity at 7 furlongs. David Jacobson has about 45,000 starts this year in the claiming ranks. He knows what he's doing. So I put him on. And we mentioned Grand Shores at the top of the show.
Yeah.
This one is a model of consistency. You know, he stretches out today. He you know, closed between horses, and he finished 2nd to a horse that nobody was beating, and that was Speechify on that day. Speechify, you will hear throughout the summer. He is a really, really nice horse, and he was just so impressive in that race. And Grand Shores is absolutely must-use somewhere on your ticket.
Yeah, only 1 for 10 here at Gulfstream. That was the only thing that concerned me about Grand Shores. He has 5 seconds from those 10 outings, so more the bridesmaid than the bride. But I agree with you. I think he's a must-use here in the Rapid Transit Stakes as race number 8. The Claiming Crown Emerald is the penultimate Claiming Crown race on this program. $125,000 purse. Back to the grass at a mile and a 16th.
Yeah, I went with the 7 El Jefe Grande. This one will try to make it 4 turf victories in a row. Returned from a 3-month layoff. He defeated $62,500 optional claimers. That was across town at Gulfstream Park West. He runs really well locally. 11 previous races with 3 wins. He's 7 for 12 in the money at the distance. And here's another one that sits in the catbird seat behind the speed in the race. I just think another race with a ton of speed. And I'm keen that the most of the winners on the turf are going to come from off the pace today. So, well, not off the pace, but so I like El Jefe Grande, Sailor's Creek, and Dreams Cut Short for my trifecta in that race.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really, really tough race.
These are easy. What are you kidding me?
These are a piece of cake.
Easy game.
It's a mini Breeders' Cup day. You have to go deep in so many of these races. All right, the last one is the Claiming Crown Jewel $200,000 purse. And a mile and an eighth on the main track, and, well, I sound like a broken record, but a lot of numbers at the top of my sheet here.
I agree with you 100%. This, to me, and I wrote in my analysis in the program, this is the most wide-open race on the card. I really couldn't, you know, zero in on anybody. I did go at Urijina. This one making his local debut at 9 furlongs. Yep. He's won at the distance. He rallied to finish second. $80,000 optional claim is going a mile in the 16th on the Keeneland main track. Mike Maker, you know, the trainer, gets just a wide-open race. I put him on and actually wrote he gets a tepid nod in here. How about the 2 Dolly now in the Dave Brady Bond, the winner of 5 of 10 races this year? How are you going to leave him off the ticket? So, you know, I closed it out with the 1 Cero in there for Diane Kobiski, I think it is, has apprentice Cecily Evans riding. I think that's the upset special in the race.
Ooh, Cero from the inside post.
He was once thought to be a really, really top horse.
Yeah.
2 for 3 at the distance, 1 for 3 here at Gulfstream. Why not? Worth
inside,
a shot.
Yeah, inside speed, you know, and this type of 9 furlongs, the inside post, so very, very good here. Got a key towards the inside, especially in the mile in the 16th and 9 furlong races, because it's a short run to the first turn. You want to have position. You want to be in one of those inside posts when you play Gulfstream Park, especially at the mile in the 16th. Because you get that, as I said, that short run up into the first turn.
He's Ron Nicoletti. He'll be a TV star here at Gulfstream Park this afternoon, but for this morning. He was nice enough to join us here on the radio on HRN. And Ronnie, really do appreciate it. You're the best man, and thanks for all your help. Look forward to catching up with you here next time.
Always a pleasure. Great seeing you guys out here in South Florida. So good luck, everybody out there today.